under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We're talking about today the Trump impact. Let me pause for a moment. Let that sink in. The Trump impact. What is the Trump impact? We're noticing things in the reshuffling, the realigning, the changing of attitudes around the globe. We're witnessing today, I believe, the speeding up of some of the biblical, theological, eschatological events. We're witnessing some things as the fall of Syria. It's Assad government. It's been in power for almost 50 years in Syria. We're witnessing the reshuffling of alignment with Russia and the Russian nations that we see eventually taking place in Ezekiel 38 and 39 with the war with Russia, the five nations that Russia will lead to come against the little postage stamp, the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. We're witnessing these things. And personally, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, and you can have your opinion and your thought and your input, I believe we're witnessing these things in what appears to be a speeding up of all of these events as a result of all of the national leaders realizing and recognizing there's a new sheriff in town, realizing and recognizing with what Trump is going to do and what Trump has said that he would do. I believe it's the Trump impact, the Trump effect that is taking place that's helping to bring about these things. But listen, it's not something that is out of the ordinary, because when we look at the Word of God, God tells us exactly what is going to take place and how it's going to happen. In fact, I'm fascinated by the fact that in Proverbs 29:1, the Scripture says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm finding today that there are those that have a hardened neck, a mindset, and a sense that I'm indestructible. I believe Joe Biden has had that mindset. I believe Kamala Harris has had that mindset. People like Liz Cheney and the one that President Trump calls pencil neck, Adam Schiff, and others that now Biden is talking about giving a blanket pardon. Why does he want to do that? They've not been charged with a crime yet. They've not been convicted of a crime. So why should he give pardons? We're going to talk about all of these things that I believe have a nexus in the fact that Trump is about to go into office. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps at the top of the list today, we need to talk about as kind of an introductory thought, is the not guilty verdict for Daniel Penny. Not guilty. He wasn't guilty to begin with. But yet there was an attempt by D.A. Bragg, the D.A. Bragg in New York, to try to force fit to satisfy the loose lax laws liberals to prosecute a man that should have been given the Bronze Star, if you will, for heroism and for taking a stand to protect lives. We're going to talk about that today with a very special guest that we'll introduce in a moment. We'll talk about that, the not guilty verdict from the jury, the dropping of the charges by the judge for Daniel Penny. Should that case have ever been brought to a courtroom? What are your thoughts? How do we handle such as that in the future? Do you believe Donald Trump's inauguration, January the 20th, is going to make a difference on the lawfare that takes place and has been taking place against Trump in particular for the past 10 years and in general for several years now, with the liberal district attorneys being placed into office across the nation? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It should be first, foremost, and final as we look at things that are happening. I've said for many, many, many years, as we see things on a local level, national level, international level, as we see things militarily, economically, politically, socially, ethically, morally, biblically, whatever we look at, we need to see it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say about it? God's Word is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement. He said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, "Thy word is truth." And "thy word is truth" in John 17:17 is validated in Psalms 117:2. The truth of the Lord endures forever. So may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when we're looking at what is happening, see it through the lens of Scripture. It is the truth book. It is the only source for truth. George Orwell, in his secularist, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that flooding the Marxist media today. In fact, recently with an interview of Donald Trump on, I believe it was CBS or NBC, I've forgotten which, where the interview lady from the network talked about the 14th Amendment. She left out six very important words out of that 14th Amendment when she talked about the fact that she thought that Trump would be doing the wrong thing to send what they come to call anchor babies back and not allow them to stay in America. She used the 14th Amendment, but out of context, and a portion of the 14th Amendment not even left intact, as you quoted. That's the mindset today. It is somehow bifurcating truth. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a powerful statement. Headline says, says DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He goes on to say in his elaborate article, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today." And ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is, from my perspective, according to the latest survey, 55% of the younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. No absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day to each of us, that we love it, live it, learn it, and be willing to stand and defend it. That is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, well, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for a time. Atop that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, is flowing 24/7 U.S. flag, Old Glory. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, after a brief portion of my monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest, open our telephone lines, and start taking our callers today. We're talking about the Trump impact. Do you believe that Donald Trump's election has had an impact on every aspect of the political scene in the all around the world, not just in America, but around the world? And ladies and gentlemen, want to, as we open our telephone lines in a moment, want your thoughts in relationship to Daniel Penny. Should he have been ever tried? Should he have ever gone to court? Should he have been charged with a crime? Or should he have been given a Bronze Star, if you will? I'm going to read a headline, then we'll introduce our guest and start taking our callers. Daniel Penny acquitted in the subway chokehold death of Jordan Neely, sparking applause and uproar in the New York City courtroom. Marine veteran Daniel Penny was acquitted by a Manhattan jury Monday in the chokehold death of Jordan Neely, a lightning rod case that cast a light on the mayhem plaguing the Big Apple subways. Jurors cleared Penny, a 26-year-old Long Islander, of criminally negligent homicide after the caught-on-camera fatal encounter on an uptown train last year sparked fierce debate about mental illness and public safety and vigilantism. Daniel Penny leaves the courtroom being found not guilty Monday. His Neely, that is the one that was killed, Neely's father had to be escorted out of the courtroom after the verdict was read. Penny finally got the justice he deserved, one lawyer said. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who quickly faced calls to resign from bringing the case against Penny in the first place, said he respected the jury's ruling and insisted that prosecutors followed the facts and the evidence from the beginning to the end. It really, really, really hurts, Neely's father said after the verdict. I had enough of this. The system is rigged, end quote. Now, is the system rigged? Was the system rigged against Hunter Biden? The president said it was. That is Joe Biden. Joe Biden says that it was a political prosecution. Yet for 10 years, Donald Trump has been persecuted, prosecuted, chased down, hunted like an animal. And that wasn't political prosecution? I find there's a double standard coming out of the political process today. And I find it concerning. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're watching today a major, major change around the world. Our telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to introduce our guest and take a few words from him and then open our lines for the callers. We have today with us, we're delighted to have as our special guest, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Congressman Hill is always a delight to talk with him and kind of pick his brain as to what's taking place and get some good, solid conservative answers as we talk about these issues. And Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. I was listening to your opening monologue, and I was in particular agreement with your opening statements, where you said it seems right now that not only in the United States but around the world that there's been a great shift. Some have even called it a great awakening. When we see the election of Donald Trump, we see the happenings in the Middle East and in other places around the world where it seems like people are waking up and moving away from this leftist agenda, which has nothing to do with making things better for people, but instead putting those who are in power more power, giving them more power. And we're seeing a shift away from that. And it is refreshing to see it not only here in the United States, but I'm hearing reports of in people's personal lives that around the same time, the fall of this year, all of a sudden something shifted in their personal life and things are looking much better now.
Well, I think one of the things, Congressman Hill, that I see is a fresh, as you call it, awakening, a fresh new look with a fresh hope. And I know the scripture says our hope should be in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. I realize the scripture warns us that we're not to put our hope and trust in man, that man cannot help, but that God can. But from the human standpoint, I'm witnessing a major, major new outlook on everything. In fact, I find it fascinating. I call it the President Trump or the Trump effect or the impact around the world. And I find it refreshing when you see people like Zuckerberg going to Mar-a-Lago and having dinner with Trump. And then a few days later, Trump says, yeah, he was here. I'm going to use the term, he was here to butter up to me, and he knows the train is coming. There's going to be some things on the horizon that these people, he had Trudeau from Canada flew to Mar-a-Lago and sat with him. And most everybody's aware now that Trump said that Canada needs to become the 51st state if it continues to do what it's doing. But Congressman, just out of curiosity, it just comes to mind. I've been watching recently some mega, major, high-profile Madison Avenue productions about Ontario and what Canada produces and how 17 states in America is dependent upon their exports out of Canada, et cetera, et cetera. I find it fascinating that they are now trying to work the other side of the aisle to get American citizens to think, well, you know, Trump shouldn't put tariffs on Canada because look at all that we depend on from Canada. Look at what Canada's doing. They're putting on a high-profile show, if you will, to try to balance the scales or rig the scales to weigh in the favor of Canada when it comes to that. Congressman, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You and the Senate, I'm going to tell you, y'all are dead on point, because they tried to make Trump look like Hitler. But really, it was Joe Biden, not Joe Biden, but his puppet master. His puppet master that did this. And George Soros, Bill Gates, and other billionaires, or whatever you want to call them, they had this thing plotted from the beginning. Now, you've made all your money in America. God bless America. And you trying to destroy God? God's not going to stand for it. And like the young man, whoever that young lady was that spotted the man that killed the guy in the shirt. Hey.
Yeah, you're talking about the customer at the McDonald's restaurant up in New Jersey, and the customer notified the person in the McDonald's place, and they telephoned the police, and they were able to catch him. I found that intriguing, fascinating, and it should have worked out in that fashion. I'm thankful for that. Kenneth, I'm thankful for your call, and we need to keep on recognizing that God is still in control, but I believe it's going to work through the presidency of Donald J. Trump. Go ahead. I thought Kenneth was still there. Congressman Hill, a fundamental thought, and Kenneth touched on it, with the one that executed the insurance executive. Just give your take on that. What are your thoughts? Why was it done? Where did this come from? Do you think there's a motive beyond just supposedly hating corporate work, as one of the commentators put it on the television program last evening? Just your take on that.
Well, we're going to learn a whole lot more, Dr. Youngblood, about this, as this young man has been arrested now and apparently will face trial for the murder of that CEO, Thompson. This young man comes, as I understand it, comes from a very wealthy family in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And when he was caught, he had over $8,000 U.S. dollars cash on him and $2,000 in foreign currency, plus a number of fake IDs. And it was like this was a long-term plan of this young man. And the question is, why? What was it all about? And it makes you wonder if he was just a part of the Antifa movement, which just seems to be against anything that is stable. They like anarchy. And here's something that's interesting, too, as I bring that up, Dr. Youngblood. If you notice, Antifa has been relatively quiet the entire mm-hmm. time that the Biden regime has been in office. When Trump was in office, they were burning and looting cities all over the place, using as their ruse George Floyd who died from a drug overdose, by the way, not from Derek Chauvin murdering him.
That's right.
That was a sham trial. And so they were using that as an excuse to cause mayhem everywhere. But they've been quiet during the Biden administration, during his regime. We haven't seen all the statues being torn down. We haven't seen the burning of cities. Now, we have seen the looting taking place in a number of cities where the left has been in control and has removed the police, defunded the police, which was a part of the leftist movement. And now that's even being thrown out. We're seeing in Los Angeles, the prosecutor there being tossed out in his latest vote. And instead, they elected someone who vowed to be tough on crime. So we're seeing a major shift in things happening all over, Dr. Youngblood. And this young man who was caught, his family issued a statement and said, we're just in shock. Now, we're appalled. We don't know what caused this to happen, why he would go and do this. Instead of me just speculating on why he did it, Dr. Youngblood, I think we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks, probably months, as the trial goes on and we start learning more about the intents and the motive of this young man.
Exactly right. One of the things that I've toyed with, and I don't have, as you know, and we do not, none of us have the full facts details in hand to make a solid call. But what if, because there was a case going on where he was being investigated for dumping stock. I don't know the term for that. But what is the possibility that he was going to talk because the case was coming up out of the DOJ's filing? And what if somebody didn't want him to talk and that was simply a hitman? We don't know. But it's a little unusual, as you said, coming out of a very wealthy family, having a bachelor's and master's in technology, and with the wealth that he had and the position that he held as a family member. I find it a little concerning that, as you said, what if it's part of Antifa and what they're doing? Let's switch gears for just a moment. Daniel Penny went through over a year of being tried, persecuted, prosecuted, and an attempt to destroy his life because he jumped in trying to save lives. Speak to that. Just give your overview, your thought, and your take on what happened, what took place, should it have ever happened. And right now, I believe the Neely family has already filed suit in the civil courts to try to get money as a result of their son being killed or as their son dying. Tell me your thoughts. What is your take on that?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. You know, first of all, his father, who is all of a sudden pretending that he is wants to be involved in his son, who is now dead, be involved in his life. It's amazing. While his son was alive, he had nothing to do with him. He wasn't in his son's life at all, and that's part of the reason why this young man went on this rant. He probably wasn't of stable mind, and drugs may have been involved. I don't know. Let me not say that because I don't know. But he wasn't in his right mind.
If I can jump in, you are correct on that, because the autopsy had showed that there were major drugs in his system, different types, and he had, if you want to call it that, a rap sheet as long as your arm, where he'd had interface with the law year after year after year after year. But you're exactly right. His family didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was running on the streets with things mentally and emotionally wrong, and that took place. But touch on the picture. If you're on the street or the subway, and all of a sudden someone jumps in your face, they're threatening life, threatening people, and you have the capabilities, is it our responsibility as moral people, as ethical people, as central biblicist people, is it a responsibility? Do we have the responsibility to defend others in a case like that?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. It was a show of courage to do that. It would have been so easy to just kind of turn your head, sit back, while this person who, thank you for clarifying, in his state of mind, probably on drugs, and here he is yelling at people, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you," getting in their face. And all too often, people will just turn and look the other way, not wanting to get involved. But this young man, a former Marine, trained to defend this nation, trained to defend others, did not just look away. He did the courageous thing, put this person in a hold. The intent was not to kill him, but just to restrain him and put him in this hold, and he passed away. He died. And thank goodness the jury is seeing it the way you and I are, Dr. Youngblood, that this was not an intent to kill this person. It was not negligent homicide, or even the first charge of manslaughter in a city that is corrupt. It has a corrupt judicial system. It was exposed because of what they did to President Trump, and we see it now at different levels. And thank goodness that the correct verdict was given in this instance, where he was found not guilty. And now we're finding that these fake Black Lives Matter leaders are calling for black vigilantism, which, by the way, is against the law, where they're saying that, hey, maybe we need to retaliate against white people, which is utter nonsense. And so, he's inciting violence by saying things like that. And if someone were to begin to act on it, charges should be brought against him, where he's nothing more than a race hustler, the next generation of the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons.
Absolutely. And I find it, as you touched on then so clearly and succinctly, I find it disconcerting. You probably watched the same media that I did when they were speaking, the Black Lives Matter leader, apparently in the New York area, New York City area. And he was threatening vigilantism. He was threatening white lives. He was threatening to retaliate. And then the female that stood, the young lady that stood in, she was basically condemning with vitriol, demeaning and condemning America, all whites in America, and all of America. And I would be petrified. I think from the standpoint of a Christian conservative viewpoint, I'd be petrified to be in the position those people are in, knowing that God is still on the throne, that God is watching. And as one of our sons said on one occasion, he said, some people God needs to squeeze and somebody needs to squeeze a little harder to get their attention. And I believe that what they're doing is setting the stage for major, major, major difficulty. And as you said, I believe they need to be held responsible for it. Congressman Hill, if you don't mind hanging there just a few moments while we're at the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after the news as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, W-A-T-1